back, and he's bringing us back on track to where he originally planned for mankind to have dominion. That's why Jesus preached so much about the kingdom, because he created man to have dominion. And because the first Adam failed, Jesus is the last man Adam, King of kings and Lord of lords. And so we're going to talk about the two trees in the garden again, and it's law versus grace. There you've got the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is law, and the tree of life. And at the end of last night's message, I said Jesus is the tree of life. Like the fruit of life hanged from that tree, they crucified Jesus and hanged him on a tree. And his flesh and his blood will give us eternal life. But the enemy is still wanting us to go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we've got to really see how that is happening with a lot of believers. And they need to know the truth. You'll know the truth. You've got to hear it to know it. Amen. And that's what you're here for, to hear it. Hallelujah. And you'll know the truth, and it'll make you free. Praise the name of Jesus. And so, as we mentioned, we are in the actual garden now, but it's not on the earth. It's in the spirit. And though I'm standing right here in Kenora, Ontario, I'm seated with Jesus in heavenly places. Hallelujah. You believe that? Hallelujah. And he's seated in heaven, so I'm seated with him. And remember, that's the mountain, Zion, that we've come to, not the law, not Mount Sinai in the desert. We've come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And down from that mountain on the day of Pentecost came the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, where the law of the Old Covenant came down from Sinai. And the tree of life is given to us. But the Old Covenant came, just like God allowed there to be a tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden, beside the tree of life. The Old Covenant was going to be a lesson after mankind sinned. And for 1,500 years, God wanted them under the law until the seed, Jesus Christ, would come. And then when Jesus Christ would come, the promise of Abraham would be in effect. And remember, Galatians 3 tells us that God didn't say to Abraham and his seeds, plural, would the promises be made. He said to his seed, singular, and that seed is Christ. So only two people got those promises, Abraham and his seed, Jesus. And then we think, well, how can we be the children of Abraham? How could, if it's only seed, one seed, which is Christ? That's why Galatians 3 says, you're baptized into Jesus Christ and you've become Abraham's seed. Aren't you glad you're in Jesus? Hallelujah. We're in Jesus. We're in the seed. Hallelujah. And some people, I think I mentioned this the other service, but some people think that Israel has a different plan from God than the church does. No, that's not true. The promises, when God said, Abraham, everybody that blesses you, I will bless them. Everybody that curses you, I will curse them. Many people think that's talking about Israel, because they think the promises of Abraham are on Israel. But Galatians 3 said, no, the promises of Abraham are on Abraham and his seed, Jesus. And so, you're not supposed to curse Israel anyway. But he wasn't saying, whoever curses Israel will be cursed. He's saying, whoever curses Jesus will be cursed. Whoever blesses Jesus will be blessed. And if we're in Christ and we are Abraham's seed, then whoever blesses the church will be blessed. Whoever curses the church will be cursed. Israel has the same Acts 2:38 gospel that we have. There's only one plan of God for the whole world. There's only one new covenant. Hallelujah. There's only one salvation, and it's for all nations. preach to all nations repentance, remission of sins in his name, and receiving the promise of the Father. How many are glad you got the truth of the gospel? Hallelujah. But the old covenant came as a lesson. Now look at Genesis 2 and 8. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And then he repeats it in verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it, take care of it, maintain it, and keep it, protect it. In fact, when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Keep it and dress it. Keep it and dress it. Protect it. Because when God put Adam in the garden, he was supposed to protect it. God knew there was a serpent. God knew that Satan was out there. And Satan would enter into that serpent and try to ruin it. And when God, Jesus, was telling those disciples to watch and pray, he knew there was a Judas. And he knew, just like Satan entered into that serpent, Satan entered into Judas. And he came to that garden, and with his mouth, he lied by kissing Jesus. And Jesus said, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Of all things, Judas, a kiss? Just like the serpent used its mouth and lied to the woman. But aren't you glad the serpent couldn't take down Jesus? Hallelujah. Jesus was going to crush his head. Praise the name of the Lord. But when God put man there to dress and keep the garden, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. From the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so a law was given, and I really want to get into detail of this morning. We touched on it last night. That law threatened Adam with death. And Satan heard that, and he would take that law like it was a dagger. And he would take that law and kill Adam and Eve. And in Genesis 3 and 4, the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. The liar. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You'll be like gods. What do you need him for? Just take what's good, learn what's good, learn everything that's evil, and then you'll make yourself do the good, and you'll make yourself do the evil, not do the evil. And man can't do it. And so the law came to prove that. So it's like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil all over again. God said, you keep these commandments and you'll live. And nobody was able to keep them perfectly. Everyone fell short. There's none righteous, no, not one. When the book of Romans, chapter 3, quotes a whole bunch of scriptures and said that the poison of asps is in their tongues. There's none righteous, no, not one. They've altogether become unclean. That was Old Testament scripture telling the Jews who were under the law that none of you can keep it. None of you are holy. None of you are righteous. You can't do it. And God wanted to teach that lesson to man because God wanted to give eternal life to us through Jesus. After Adam's sin, God wanted to give us life. He was protecting that tree of life, the way of the tree of life, so that we could get back to it again one day. But before Jesus came in the flesh, he had to make sure that man never repeats again what he did in the Garden of Eden and think that we can make ourselves holy. And so he had a law, and it was all filled with the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. This is good. This is good. This is good. This is evil. This is evil. This is evil. Now try to make yourself keep it. And they couldn't do it. So that when Jesus would finally come and say, I've got life, they would say, yes, yes, for 1,500 years we tried to make ourselves good. We tried to stop doing evil, and we failed and we failed. And then God says, now you learned the lesson. Yes, we need you. We can't live without you. We can't even walk without holding your hand. And then he taught them the lesson so they could have life. purpose of the law. A lot of the Israelites didn't learn the lesson. And they actually gave up trying to be holy, and they became self-righteous Pharisees. And they lost the whole spirit of the law, and they hammered them with the letter of the law. And Jesus said, "You hypocrites! You tithe mint and cumin, little tiny spices. You'll separate it into tenths so you can pay your tithes. And you overlook the weightier matters of the law. Love the Lord thy God and love your neighbor as yourself." You covet the esteem of people. And that pride, amen, is in our flesh. And the enemy wants us to feed that pride. But you know what we have to do, like Paul? Keep the body under. Keep the flesh under. Don't get proud. But the Israelites used the law of God to exalt themselves. And they missed the whole point. And even in the church, there are still Christians that didn't learn the lesson. They're born again. They're born of the water and the Spirit. But they go through condemnation because they're trying to take the New Testament and turn it into a law. A legalistic letter of the law. And if you twist the New Testament and turn it into a law of rules, you will struggle, struggle, struggle. Because law keeping is you reading a rule and making yourself obey it. But the Spirit, amen, is power, and it'll give you victory over sin. You can't keep the law on your own. You need the power of the Holy Ghost to change your heart. And then you won't sin. Let's praise the Lord today. Hallelujah, God. Now look at what John 8:44 says. You are of your father the devil, he told the Pharisees. The lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And that happened when he took God's commandment and used it as a weapon and killed Eve with it. That's why it says Genesis actually means beginnings. So when he said you were a murderer from the beginning, you were a murderer way back in Genesis. And in Romans 7 and 6, Paul the Apostle says there's two ways to serve God, and one of them doesn't work. Now we are delivered from the law that being dead wherein we were held, we should serve, number one, in newness of spirit. And number two, not in oldness of the letter. There's the two trees right there. There's the two trees. How many have ever, this is actually like what some sermons are like in churches all over the world, the knowledge of good and evil. The evil of alcohol. The evil of fornication. The evil, and it is true, and those are evil. But that's what they're preaching. And when you listen to that, it's like the preacher's handing out the knowledge of good and evil. Now make yourself stop doing it. Make yourself righteous. Make yourself do this. They don't say, get the power of the Holy Ghost in your life and get power over sin. Hallelujah. Amen. They don't do that. They're handing out the knowledge of good and evil, and it makes people condemned. They go out of church and they feel worse than when they went to church. And it's like they've been beat up. We're not doing this and we're not doing that, and we need to do this and we need to do that. And it's nothing but the knowledge of good and evil, and there's condemnation with it, and people walk away saying, I can't serve that kind of God. I don't know. I've talked to people that were born again that had the Holy Ghost that didn't think they could make heaven because they couldn't make themselves good enough. In fact, I went to one man that actually was at the very first camp meeting I visited when I was a sinner. And him and I were both sinners. And he never did get filled with the Holy Ghost. He never did go on, but he kept on hanging around church. How many have seen people like that? And I became a preacher eventually. God gave me the Holy Ghost. I got baptized. You. God called me to preach. And then years later, we kept friends. We kept in contact. And I said to him, you know something? I'm going to tell you right now why you're holding back. Because he was holding back for years. And I think he still is. I said, you don't think you're good enough for Jesus, so you're not even going to start because you think you're going to fail anyway. And I said, what you've never learned is that none of us can do it on our own. You've got this idea
that the new covenant is just another old covenant. It's just a repeat of legalism and law, and that you have to make yourself stop doing this, and you have to make yourself start doing that, and you don't have any understanding that the Holy Ghost will give you power that you don't have, so that He does everything through you. Do you remember Paul said, there's good things that I wanted to do, and I can't do it? But then in Philippians 4, he says, I can do all things, and here's the difference, through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can do all things, hallelujah. And when you look to Jesus, when you have your struggles, then praise God, he said, I'll help you and I'll give you power, so you'll run and not be weary, and you will walk and not faint. And I said, you've never done that, have you? You know what he said to me?
I wish you'd come and preach to our church. That's all he said.
You serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. You go to the tree of life, not to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The oldness of the letter is reading rules on rocks to make yourself serve God. And that's not going to work. In fact, 2 Corinthians 3 says, it's the ministration of death written and engraved on stones. Just like the knowledge of good and evil, God said you'll die. The ministration of death is written on, engraved on stones. And then you might say, well, wait a minute, Mike, that's kind of weird. You're telling me that the Ten Commandments that were written on stones is like a ministry of death. Yeah? Because if all you're given is what not to do, and you're not given the Holy Ghost to give you power, you're going to die. And so Satan had a weapon in his hand again. Now watch this. Newness of spirit, not oldness of the letter. Somebody say grace, not law. Keep in mind the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. Watch this. When Paul wrote Romans 7 and 7, look how many times he talked about good and evil. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. We know the law is not sin. Nay, I had not known sin. And I needed to know it. And I wouldn't have known it but by the law. For I had not known lust until the law said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, sin's the bad thing, not the law. When God gave the Ten Commandments, it was the ministry of death. But it was holy and it was good. It's just that man couldn't take it. So sin is the real problem, not the law. And sin saw a commandment again. Did you know that from Adam all the way to Moses, God never gave any laws? The first law he gave was to Adam, don't go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or you die. And there was no other commandment from God until Moses. I'm going to show you those verses. So here, sin was able to use a law back in Adam's day and kill them. But sin never had a law to kill anybody with. And I'll show you those scriptures as we go on. So sin took occasion. In other words, it took advantage of the commandment. And it wrought in me, Paul said, all manner of concupiscence. And concupiscence is every wicked thought you can think of. That's what sin started doing to me when it said, don't covet. It's like we said, you tell a kid, don't take those cookies. All of a sudden, something rises up in them like a rebellion. And that's sin. It's a power that's inside of us that we can't handle. But the Holy Ghost can handle it. For without the law, sin was dead. Sin couldn't kill anybody because there was no law. It needed a law that said, if you don't do this, you'll die. And then sin's going to weapon. But without the law, sin couldn't do anything. But it was still inside of us. And God wanted it out. And although there was not a law after Adam, not until Moses came, sin was still in us. But God can't. God can't do anything with us. He can't. He's going to deal with that sin. But before he can deal with that sin, he needs to let us know that we've got it in us and how wicked it really is. Watch how this works out. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no what? Good thing. For to will, to want to do it, is present with me. covenant wanted to obey. They had the will. Did you ever hear anybody say, where there's a will, there's a way? That's a lie. Paul's saying to will is present with me. I've got the will. But I don't get the way, because how to perform that which is good, I don't find it. In me, I've got the will, but I don't have the ability to perform it. So that where there's a will is a way is not true. I want to do good, but there's no good thing in me. But how to perform that which is good? Everybody say good.
Good.
I find out. For the, say it again. Good. That I would do. That I wanted to do. I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Look how many times, good and evil. Good, look what it's repeating, good and evil. And that's what Paul was doing when he was trying to keep the law. He said, I want to keep the law. I want to keep the Ten Commandments. I want to do good, but evil's present with me. I don't want to do evil, but that's what I'm doing. He says, if I do that, which I would not, if I commit a sin that I don't want to do, it's no more I that do it. I'm not the problem, because I want to do good. I don't want to do evil. But there's something in me that I can't resist. There's sin. Sin dwelleth in me. And so I find that there's another law. Now, Paul is going to talk about three laws here. The first law is Moses' law, the Ten Commandments. He said, I want to do what the law said. If you don't commit adultery, if you don't commit murder, all these things, you'll be good. So I want to do good. I don't want to do evil. That's Moses' law. But then Paul said, there's another law. There's a law number two. I find then a law, the second one, that every time I would do good, evil's present with me. Can you see how many times he said good and evil now? That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And every time you want to make yourself keep the law, there's another law. And this other law works like this. How many know there's a law of gravity? You know how the law of gravity works? You hold something up, let it go, and boom, it'll go down. Every time, no matter where you are, you could go to Germany, you could go to Africa, you could go to China, you could hold something up and let it go, it's going to fall. A law is something that happens when the same circumstances are always there. It'll always have the same results. Well, there's another law. Every single time I try to do good without the power of the Holy Ghost, without the strength of the Spirit, when I'm just trying it on my own. I can even have the Holy Ghost, but when I don't depend on it and just kind of put it in the corner in my heart and just say, you stay there, I'm going to try to make myself do good. Evil's present with me every time. Every time. It's like you hit your head against the wall, it hurts, doesn't it? Well, you hit it harder and you try to do good even more, it's you sin even more. I'm going to really try hard now, and bang! The harder you try to do good, the more you're going to sin. That's what he's saying. He said, it's a law. Every time I try to keep the law of Moses, it kicks into effect another law that's in my flesh. And every time I do good, evil happens instead. I was alive without the law once. Verse 9. That means before Israel had Moses come along, there was no law. So he said, I did good. Mankind, Paul's just representing mankind. Mankind did all right before Moses came, because law didn't exist. And where there's no law, there's no transgression. You can't transgress something unless there's a law that you transgress. If there's no law, you can't transgress. There's nothing to transgress against. But sin is still in you. And God says, I got to get that out of there. But when the commandment came, when Moses came with the law and said, thou shalt not or you'll die. It's just like God talking to Adam all over again. You go to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. And sin says, now I can take that and kill him with it. And then now there's no more law. instead of saying, I want a law, I want a law, I want to kill these people, I want to make them miserable, I want to make them condemned. And so Paul said, I was alive without the law. Mankind didn't have a problem before Moses came. But then when the law came, sin came alive. I got my chance now. And then revived. And whereas Paul used to be, he's talking about himself like he's just a man before Adam, before Moses, rather. I was alive. But when the law came, I died. It flip-flopped. I was alive and sin was dead. But when the law came, it revived and I died. I was alive, sin dead. But then the law came, now sin's alive and I'm dead. Because it used it like a knife to kill us with it. And you might say, Brother Arnold, why in the world would God want to bring a law so sins can start killing people again? Because God had a purpose. Hallelujah. Listen closely. The commandment which was ordained to life. And remember, I had everybody read Leviticus 18 and 5. You keep these commandments, you keep all of them, and you shall live. Paul quoted that. It was supposed to give me life. But you know what it did to me? I found it to be unto death. Now, was God's law lying when it said, if you keep all these laws, you'll live? No, it wasn't lying. You would be able to live if you could keep all the law. But the problem was, and God knew it, but he had to teach them a lesson. Nobody was able to keep it all. Now, why give a law to people that God knows nobody can keep? And it causes them to die. And it's the ministration of death. Because God wanted man to know that before Jesus would come. Hallelujah. He wanted us to get a good taste of the death that the miserable knowledge of good and evil gives to us before he bring us to the fruit of life again. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he brought the life again? Praise God. Aren't you glad it came? Hallelujah. Because sin, the reason I found the law to be the death, sin, it took occasion by the commandment. It took its chance. There's now another law, and I got it in my hand like a knife now. And I'm going to take that knife and kill Paul. Amen. And that's what happened. So just like, don't miss this. Father, in Jesus' name, please help me say this clearly. Don't miss this. Just like the devil took occasion by the commandment that God gave to Adam and killed the woman, Satan used the law like a knife and killed Paul. Amen. For I was alive. Listen to it again. I was alive without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment that was ordained to life, I found it to be unto death because sin took occasion by the commandment just like it took occasion to Eve. Amen. So when Paul died, though, his body didn't die. He didn't all of a sudden flop dead on the ground. Paul, his death, was trespassing and sinning. That's what God sees when a person is sinning and committing trespasses. They die. You have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's what God sees us as being dead. And that's what we were like before we were saved. So when you commit sin, you die. And aren't you glad God can forgive you now? That wasn't like that in the Old Testament. You know, how many have ever heard the preacher say, the Old Testament is like a mirror and it shows you the filth on your face and then it leaves you there. Well, how do I get rid of the dirt? Law says, beats me. Wash yourself. I ain't got nothing to wash me. I don't get the soap. I don't get the face cloth. I don't get the water. Why in the world did you show me this? I want you to see how unclean you are. And before the law, you wouldn't have known how unclean you are. But now that the law came, sin got a hold of you, and now you want to know how wicked sin really is? It's using a good, holy thing called the law to kill you. That's how wicked it is. You know, I heard on the news, did you hear about the grandfather scam going around? Where a man will call and make sure it's an older person that they'll call. And they'll say, Dad, hey, Granddad, I'm your son. Thomas, is that you? Yeah, I'm your son, Thomas. I'm in jail right now, and I need $3,000 bail. $3,000? Yeah, Dad, you don't sound like him. You don't sound like Thomas. And he goes, well, I'm so nervous, I'm so distressed. I mean, no wonder I don't sound. And he was lying all the time. It wasn't his grandson at all. And I worked for the news in Portage La Prairie, and I read the news, and there's been people has lost thousands of dollars because of these scams. Can you imagine? It just stirs me up, Pastor Gary, to think of a man that would use the loving kindness of a grandfather who does have a grandson, but he's a liar and he's pretending it's him so he can get thousands of dollars out of that poor old man. That's what a sin is like. It's so wicked and it's so cruel that it takes a good holy thing that God gave man and it kills him with it. And God says, that's why I brought the law. But we need to learn to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're not going to make yourself obey a law so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's only one way to not fulfill the lust of the flesh, folks, and that's the Holy Ghost. You should receive power, hallelujah. Walk after the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But what everybody did in the Old Covenant is they walked after the letter and they walked after the flesh. You see, we read don't walk after the flesh in Romans. And we think, don't commit adultery, don't commit sin, don't murder, don't steal. That's walking after this flesh. Well, that's definitely walking after the flesh, but that's not what Paul meant. What Paul meant by walking after the flesh, and you need to learn this. You need to learn this, folks. How many are listening closely? Listen, you need to learn this. When Paul talked about don't walk after the flesh or you'll die, he was saying, don't go after this like it's obeying commandments. Because to obey a commandment, you have to make your own flesh do good. And you can't do it. So when he said, don't walk after the flesh, he's saying, stop living by the oldness of the letter. When he said, walk in the Spirit, he said, serve God in newness of spirit. Remember, there's two ways you can serve God, and only one of them works. Oldness of the letter doesn't work. It'll kill you. Going to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is what walking after the flesh is. You make yourself do good and you make yourself not do evil and you can't do it. But when you go to the Spirit, when you go to Jesus, hallelujah, to find grace to help in the time of need, hallelujah, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh because you're relying on a power that's higher than I. Lead me to the rock, hallelujah, that's higher than I. I can't reach up high enough, God, but your hand Holy Ghost will lift you up. It'll give you wings of eagles. Hallelujah. And you will run and you won't get weary. When you run and get weary, you're running in the flesh. But when you run and not get weary, you're in the Spirit. When you run and get weary, you're walking after the flesh. You're living by the oldness of the letter. But when you run and not get weary, you're in the newness of the Spirit. You're waiting on God instead of making yourself try to do good. There's a big difference. When you wait upon God, you're just saying, stand still and see the glory of the Lord. And the flesh, people that are in the flesh, they can't sit still. They sit with me, sit down and rest. The work is finished. I can't sit down. I gotta do this and I'm not doing it. Sit down! No, the work's not finished. The work's not finished. Yes, it is finished. I did the work. You can't do it. Sit up. Wait a minute. You did the work so that I can live holy. I thought that just you did the work because you were holy. I can't sit down though because I got work to do. No, Jesus is saying, I did the work to give you strength. I did the work so that you can wait on me. And when you wait on me, I will give you wings as eagles. And the same power that never makes me tired, it'll never make you tired. You stay on your own. You walk after your flesh. You continue to go after the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to run and get weary. But if you will sit with me in heavenly places, then you will run and not get weary. You will walk and you won't faint because you're not relying on yourself. And here we are running all around when Jesus is telling us to be seated. Be seated and keep your faith in an upright position. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? Galatians 5, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. In other words, Ask God for help when you have a problem with drinking. Ask God for help if you got a problem with smoking. Ask God for help when you got a problem with swearing and cursing. You know, God took cursing out of my mouth years ago, and you could hammer me and put a bolt through my hand or leg or anything, there won't be a foul curse word come out of my mouth, because God took it out of my heart a long time ago. If it's in there, it'll come out. I've seen Christians say the F word. I've seen Christians curse. There's something wrong with their Christianity. And they tell me, oh, I'm sorry, that's a slip of the heart. I like what one old elder said. That's not a slip of the heart. That's a slip of the mouth. That's a slop from the heart. You wouldn't say that if it wasn't in your heart. And so you know what people that are legalists do? They try to bite their tongue. Oh, I want to swear, I want to swear, I want to swear.
Don't swear, don't swear, don't swear.
That's walking after the flesh. When you walk after the Spirit, you say, God, take that cursing out of my heart. And he goes to the root, not to the symptom. And he takes the root of it. Hallelujah. So if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, because the flesh is lusting against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh, and they're contrary one to the other, so you can't do the things you want to do. But Romans 7 says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I do, I allow not. I don't want to be allowed. I don't allow what I'm doing. I don't okay it. For that which I do, I allow not, but what I would, that's not what I'm doing. When I first got saved, I cried. Because I was at home as a teenager, living with mom. And I would get mad at her. And then I would go to bed. And I'd cry my eyes out because I said, I don't want to be doing this to my mom. I'm a Christian. I shouldn't be doing this. And I literally cry. And that's because I didn't learn how to walk after the Spirit. It's like what I would, that I'm not doing it. But what I hate, that's what I'm doing. You ever felt like that? If then I do that which I wouldn't do, I'm consenting to the law. The law is good. I agree with the law. To will is present with me. The law is good. But I'm doing what I can't do. Or rather, I'm wanting to do what I can't do. So Romans 7:14, we know. Let me read that in a modern version. I always use the King James, but I really want you to understand this. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am merely a human, and I have been sold as a slave to sin. In fact, I don't understand why I act the way I do. I don't do what I know is right. I do the things I hate. Although I don't do what I know is right, I agree the law is good. So don't look at me and say, well, you must not agree with the law, because look at all the things you're breaking in it. No, I agree it's good. I just can't do it. And maybe you've done that, but I remember I cried in my teens. God, it's like I knew what Paul was talking about. In verse 16, so walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh, because the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and you can't do the things that you would. That's why Paul. Now, Paul, when he wrote that, by the way, he knew the answer, but he just wanted to explain to you and walk you through it so you can get it. Okay? Verse 18, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there's nothing good. To will is present with me. Now, I know I read this before, but I really want you to get it. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. So then he says, oh, wretched man that I am. How many can feel Paul's agony here as he describes it? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In this body is this monster called sin, and it stops me and it kills me. Every time I try to obey the command and make myself do right, that thing rises up. When I would do good, evil's always present with me. Who will deliver me? And then he says, I thank God. He just gave the answer, who? Everybody say, God will. God will. Who'll deliver you, Paul? God will. See, Paul knew that, but he's just writing to take you through this so you can understand it.
And how will he do it?
How will you do it, God?
Through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how I'll do it. Hallelujah. And so, with the mind that I myself serve the law of God, when I'm doing it on my own, and I'm trying, he said, in my mind, I'm serving the law of God. If you read the whole verse, what's he mean? With the mind that I myself serve the law of God. That means in his head, he agreed with it. In his mind, he's obeying it. He's agreeing. And God wants you first to agree with the word, but then he wants you to do it. But Paul only got halfway. In my mind, I'm serving God because I agree with it. I agree with it. It's good. He said, my mind's okay. Because I delight in the law of God after the inward man. My mind is great. I know what I need to do and I believe it. But I see another law in my members warring against what I agree with in my mind. And that law that's in my body called sin brings me into captivity. And this is the second law. Remember he said, whenever I do good, evil's present with me. That's a law. He finally names it. It's the law of sin. So when you try to keep the old covenant law, number two, the law of sin stirs up in you and makes you sin. And it's a vicious cycle. The more you try to do good, the more you're going to commit sin. Well, I'm going to really try to do good now, and the worse you're going to commit sin. What a vicious cycle. So Paul said, with the mind, I'm serving God. But I know now I need something else. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that with the mind, I serve the law of God. But with the flesh, I'm serving the law of sin. Are you getting it? You get this over. We are actually studying some of the deepest parts of the Bible there is to study. And so that's why I pray. I said, Lord, I told Brother Arna, I said, God has given me so much, but I'm praying that I can explain it so you can easily understand it. Because sometimes you can hear this kind of preaching and just go,
what is he talking about?
So we need the eyes of your understanding opened up. We sang last night, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open my understanding. So with the mind, you can agree to serve God. But you'll have a miserable condemnation because when you try to do it in your flesh, you obey the law of sin. So, chapter 8, verse 1. Now, Brad Wesley gave me a Bible, the American Standard Version, to look at this weekend. And in the American Standard Version, it takes out the last few words. It might leave them there, but there will be a little note that says these words aren't in the original Greek. It'll take it out. It takes out the most important part of the verse. Because he said, what did he serve God with? His mind, right? But what happened when he tried to use his flesh? He served the law of sin. He didn't serve the law of God. He served the law of sin with his flesh. So, verse 8 says, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh. If walking after the flesh is going to make you serve the law of sin, stop walking after it. Paul, you're screaming out, who will deliver you? You're screaming out how wretched you are. You're under a whole load of condemnation. But there is no condemnation if you stop walking after that flesh and walk after the Spirit. Stop looking at commandments and trying to make yourself obey them. Start calling on Jesus and say, give me power to run and not be weary. They take out the most important part out of the new versions of the Bible. Because if you take that out, look at what it says. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Period. And then, you see, if you're walking after the flesh, you might be in Christ, but you didn't learn how to walk after the Spirit. So when you're condemned, I must not be in Christ. I must not even be saved. Most important part. No, it's not just for people. It says, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. You can be in Christ and walk after the flesh. But if you stop walking after the flesh and start walking after the Spirit, and the truth shall make you free. But if you don't learn it, because you're always going to revivals, you're always going to see miracles, you don't want the pastor to sit down and teach you, then you're never going to learn the third law. There's a third law. Somebody say the third law. The first one is the law.
try to keep it, you'll make the second law, the law of sin and death, work inside of you. But there's a third one. Hallelujah. And praise God, don't walk after the flesh. Don't serve the oldness of the letter. Look at verse 6. I'll mention the spirit law in a minute, but watch this. But now, this is for way back in verse 6. Now we are delivered from the law. Somebody say hallelujah. We're delivered from the law, right? That being dead, wherein we were held. So we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. So, if he said, don't serve in oldness of the letter in verse 6, and then he said, don't walk after the flesh in chapter 8, then walking after the flesh is serving in oldness of the letter. I want to make sure you get that. Because a lot of people, you'll take and say, what's that mean? Don't walk after the flesh, but after the spirit. Well, I can't lie to people. I can't commit adultery. I can't murder. I got to be a good Christian. And they miss it. They miss it. You don't know what it means to walk after the spirit until you go back to chapter 7, verse 6. We are supposed to walk in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So when it says, don't walk after the flesh, it's saying, don't walk in the oldness of the letter. Now, chapter 8 is going to mean a whole world of difference to you now. Now that you know that. Hallelujah. Oh, I love the word of the Lord. Look at verse 6. Think about carnally minded as walking after the flesh, trying to keep a law that you can't keep. For to be carnally minded is death. See? But to be spiritually minded, walking after the Spirit, relying on the Holy Ghost, is life. And that tree might have been called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that tree might have been life, but the reason you can look at that tree as death is because God said you'll die. I don't care if good's in it, and there is good in it, but he said, I don't care if it's good in it, because the law is good, but you can't make yourself obey it. It'll still kill you. So you zoom on up and say, yeah, but look here, I'm 2 inches away from it. See all that good stuff? You say, yeah, stand back a little, son. Okay. You see the evil with it? Yeah, there's evil there too. But there's good. I see the good. What's wrong? Stand back. Good and evil. Now, what did I say, Adam? If you eat that fruit, I'll die. That's right. So, you know, really, when you stand back, it's not just the knowledge of good and evil in life. It's death versus life. It's death versus life. And you can hear a preacher preach until the cows come home and tell you, do good and don't do evil. Do good and don't do evil. But it'll still kill you. And we as pastors and preachers and teachers, we need to be handing out the fruit of life. Not law. Not the letter, the oldness of the letter. When you hand out the fruit of life, you're handing out the newness of the Spirit. And people are going to live. And they're going to go outside the church after the service is over and say, I feel so good now. I'm glad I was in church. But if you go to the oldness of the letter and then come out of that service, man, I feel more condemned than when I went in there. So what are we throwing out to you? Knowledge of good and evil? Look at them all die. Or life? Look at them all shout. Look at them all in liberty. Look at them all free. Hallelujah. They're knowing the truth, and it's making them free. Praise God. So to be spiritually minded is life and peace, the tree of life. But to be carnally minded is death, the knowledge of good and evil. So there's still two trees in the garden. You got to stop picking from the bad one. For to be carnally minded, to live by the oldness of the letter, will see you sin and it'll kill you. When you want to serve God in newness of spirit, don't look at the Bible and say, I got to make myself obey all these commandments. You just ruined it. You just ruined it. Don't make the new law into the old, the New Testament, into the old law. People are doing it all the time. Pray and rely on the Holy Ghost to help you. Hallelujah. Live by a better law. And here's the third law. What was the first one again? Law of Moses. If you keep the law of Moses, there's another law. When you would do good, evil's present with me. The law of sin. But the third law. Hallelujah. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I became bound by the law of sin and death when I tried to keep the law of sin and death. I got to stop going after the oldness of the letter. I got to go after the newness of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And it's unbelievable that in 2024, there's still a huge number of denominations that don't even get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's more knowledge of good and evil in the name of Jesus than there is life. We need to spread this word. We need to get this Holy Ghost message out there. Come to Jesus. He'll give you the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. The law of the Spirit of life is the third law. And that will set you free. It makes you free from making yourself obey the letter of the law that kills you. How do we walk out of the Spirit? I quoted this to you last night, but I think you understand even more now. So this will really get through to you. Don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies. You mean sin can reign in me even if I'm born again? Yes, just look at all the condemned born-again people that don't listen to the teaching. Yeah, but don't let it. You've got to stop that. Stop it. That you should obey it in the lust thereof. And furthermore, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But here's how you get it. Here's how you live by the law of the Spirit of life. Yield yourselves unto God. Not make yourself try to do better. You're wasting your time. Our brother talked about wasting an hour there when he could have been eating a good meal. Well, you know what? We're wasting hours when we could be eating good meals of the steak of the Word. Hallelujah. So stop wasting your time trying to make yourself good, but yield yourself to God as those that are alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of unrighteousness. God, this hand has punched and slapped too many people. Take it now. And please, Lord, when I tried using it, I messed up. Sin revived. But you, will you take my hand, please? One man walked into a train, and there was a room on the train where there was four people to be sitting, but there's only three there. And this man was a preacher that happened to walk in and looked in. And they said, good, we've got a fourth man. Come on and gamble with us. Play some cards and gamble with us. We need four people. He says, well, folks, I really would, but I don't have my hands with me today. I said, what? They looked at each other, and they looked at his hands. You don't have your hands with me. What do you mean? I gave my hands as instruments of righteousness to God. And so he's not going to use them to do this kind of sin.
Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Can you give your members as instruments for God to use?
Man, this guitar is an instrument, and it can be used to play music that worships the devil. It can talk about sin. It can talk about fornication. And there's a lot of that going over the radio. How many know? It can talk about even this nonsense. Me and Jesus got our own thing going, and we don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about. That's a lie from hell. Jesus says you need to obey the apostles' words. What do you mean you don't need anybody else? But you can take that same instrument that used to be used for the devil and give it over to God and say, you use it. And he'll say, hallelujah, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, praise God, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. It's what you give your instruments to that accomplishes what it's going to accomplish. Put that guitar in Brother Beardy and you're going to hear glory from God. Put that guitar in some rock and roll singer and they're going to be singing sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I want you, Jesus, to use me to uplift the kingdom. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. You died with Jesus. Know you not? Everybody say no.
No.
See, you've got to know something. If you don't ever get a teaching, you'll never know this. And that's why you'll be defeated in your whole Christian life. I know people who have been going to church for 50 years, but they never go to hear teaching. And so they don't know this. Know ye not that so many of us as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death?
Whoa, wait a minute, Paul. What did you just say? Did you say that when I get baptized into Jesus, his death counts as mine?
That's exactly what I didn't know that's what baptism is for. That's what it means. You get remission of sins. Because if you're dead, you're freed from sin. So if you get baptized into Jesus' death, you're freed from sin.
I never knew that.
No, because you never let somebody teach you. Everybody say no.
Know ye not?
And you see, look how many times Paul talks. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So if you get baptized into Jesus' death, you're freed from sin. So it says, no. Don't you know this? And then in verse 9, he says it again. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Watch this. Brother Beardy, I love this when God first opened this up to me. Hallelujah. Brother, you've been really listening to every service, and I can see it in your eyes. And I appreciate everybody. I told Pastor Gary, it's so easy to preach to these people. They're just pulling it out of you. But watch this. Number one, Jesus was raised from the dead. He dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him, right? Verse 16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves? Now look how many times he's telling us, do you not know this? Did you not learn this? Like I said, I remember going to church for years and never hearing these scriptures preached. And you know, the truth be told, this is for the teachers. This is for the teachers. But there's some churches that never do teaching. Every church needs to get a teacher. And that's why I have people after my own heart, teaching ministry. Woo, hallelujah. You get teachers. Now evangelists, they got their ministry, and the pastors got theirs, and the prophets got theirs, and God uses them. But you need all of the ministries, including teaching. So don't you know that if you yield yourselves to certain customer for servants to obey, you're becoming his servants? And his servants you are to whom you obey, and you could be giving yourself to sin, or you'd be giving yourself to obedience unto righteousness. There's two trees. Which one are you going to? Knowing. Know ye not. You got to know this. Why? Because you shall know the truth. These scriptures that he said no. He said you know these things. They'll set you free. You won't be up and down and backsliding all the time. You won't have to go to the altar every time for year after year after year after year. I know, like I said, I know people have gone for 50 years and they still go to the altar because they're still condemned. Because they never took a little bit of patience and listened to the word of God. Like you folks are doing here today. I asked Pastor Gary, how many hours do you guys have to drive? He said six.
6 hours!
God bless you people!
Because you've put such a priority on getting the word that you're willing to charge 6 hours of driving to your gas tanks and motel rooms and all of this. Oh, let's clap unto the Lord.
Truth. For in that he died once. Now watch this. This is what I was talking about. Romans 6 and 10. In that, everybody say Jesus died once. Right? He didn't have to die 100 times, did he? He died once. Number two, but in that he liveth unto God. So somebody say, he always lives to God now. Right? See those two things about Jesus? Well, that's Jesus. He died once. But I've been dying every year. Every week, I commit sin, I die. Okay, this needs to stop. Here's how it's going to do it. We know that Jesus died to sin once. And we know that from then on, you live forever. Wouldn't it be nice to be like that? Well, guess what? It is true for you. It is true. Because look at what the next verse says. Likewise. I likewise. Because likewise says, just like Jesus died once and ever lives unto God, I likewise am dead indeed to sin. But you need to reckon it. Everybody say no. Now say reckon. Reckon is part two. I just spent a long time talking about what we need to know. Now I'm going to talk about what you need to reckon. Now, when you reckon what you know, that means, okay, I got to start applying this to me. This is the facts. These are the truths. I died with Jesus. And just like he died once unto sin, I need to reckon myself to be dead indeed unto sin. Right? And just like he liveth unto God, reckon yourself to be alive unto God.
How? Remember what Paul said? Who shall deliver me? And who did he say was the answer? I thank God. How? Through Jesus Christ. Well, reckon yourself to be dead and alive unto God through Christ Jesus the Lord. That's how you, my, I didn't say I'm still alive.
I'm not talking about in the flesh. In the spirit, when you were baptized into Jesus, God said you just died to sin. So that like Jesus' death became yours, his burial became yours, his resurrection became yours. That's why after you know these things, and then after you reckon them, the third word is yield. Everybody say yield. Know, reckon, and yield. And if reckon means apply it to yourself, you know what yield means? Now do something about it. Say, God, I'm alive from the dead.
You are. You know that now, do you? I mean, for 15 years you didn't know that.
Yeah, but I know it now.
So you know that when you get baptized into my death, you die?
Yeah.
And then you reckon that to be true for you, just like I was dead and now I'm alive forevermore. Now you know that it's true for you. You're alive from the dead
and alive forevermore. Yeah.
Now I'm yielding. Now I'm talking like it. Now I'm praying like it. And say, God, here I am, alive from the dead. Now use me. Woo, hallelujah. And now, just like Jesus is ever living, amen unto God, as soon as you start doing that, you've already known it, now you've reckoned it, now you're yielding it. You're yielding yourself. Then God's going to start anointing you. And look what Jesus did after he resurrected from the dead. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. You know what you'll do when you get this? You'll start showing the world you're alive from the dead by many infallible proofs. Because you're not wasting your time anymore with the knowledge of good and evil and trying to make yourself holy. You're saying, God, you already made me holy, and I never realized it. You already made me righteous when you saved me. Now I've been wasting my time trying to get what I already am. Did you ever notice that God made Adam and Eve in his what? Likeness? And then the devil comes along. You'll be like God if you eat the knowledge of good and evil. If Eve had listened to that word more carefully, I will be like God? Okay, wait a minute right now, serpent. He made me in his likeness. What do you mean I'm going to be like him?
And the devil's trying to say, you need to be holy, you need to be righteous. And if you know the word of God, you just answer that slick-tongued serpent and say, I received the righteousness of God already when he saved me.
You've got to earn it. You've got to earn it.
I can't earn it, devil. Jesus earned it for me. He did the work that made me righteous. He did the work that makes me righteous. And that will set you free.
Oh, clap unto him. Hallelujah. Through Jesus.
Now, I want to bring this down. John 20 and 11. Remember the day Jesus resurrected? And Mary stood outside the sepulcher, and she was weeping. She stood outside crying her eyes out. And as she wept, she stooped down, imagine just weeping, and looking into that tomb. And then just happened to see, get the eyes out of her, tears out of her eyes so she could see. So she stooped down and looked. And when she looked, she saw two angels in there. One was at the head, and the other one was at the feet, where Jesus' body was laying. This is what she saw. Let me show you. You died with Jesus. You resurrected with Jesus. I got to go ahead. This is what she saw. Now, the body of Jesus wasn't there when she looked in. But look at it. There's an angel at the foot and an angel at the head, but the body was gone. Does that remind anybody here of something that I showed you on the slides last night? Huh?
Now, this is the tomb of Jesus, right? This is where he was dead.
The Ark of the Covenant.
Amen. Amen.
Had a cherub on one side and a cherub on the other. And right between them, where the body of Jesus laid in the tomb, the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat. Blood is the life of the flesh. When you take blood out of the flesh and you put it there, that's death. Jesus' dead body was in the same place that the blood, which represents death, was. Why on earth did God do that with the tomb of Jesus? I'll tell you why. Because that Ark of the Covenant is the throne of Jesus, right? I preached it last night. Remember, he rose from the dead and went to heaven and sat on that throne? You know what he was doing? He took the devil's grave. He took the power of Satan, which was death. And death was swallowed up in victory, and he turned a tomb into the holiest of holies, and he put his throne in a tomb. The kingdom of hell was the power of death, and Jesus said, I'm going to swallow up that death in victory, and I'm going to turn it into my throne room. My victory is me on the throne, and I'm going to lift myself up from the dead. I'm going to come out of that tomb, and devil, all you could do is kill me, but you didn't have this power. I'm raising myself up now from the dead, and death, you got no more power over me. I'm taking your death, and I'm making it a throne room.
Hallelujah! I mean, when God showed me that, oh my wife had to shut me up. I was hollering and hollering. Hallelujah! I said, you need to show with me. Come on. I'm the head of the wife, praise God. And so he turned the tomb into a holiest of holies. You see, there he is. And it's just like the Ark of the Covenant in the holiest of holies. Jesus made the place where his body was dead into the place where his body would sit as a king. I'll put my throne in there. Hallelujah, God. Woo.
And guess what? You are seated together with him.
Hallelujah, Jesus. You're inviting me to sit with you on your throne.
Yeah.
Come here, sit with me. Wait a minute. You conquered death, though. I can't do that.
I did it for you. Hello.
I did it for you. You think I needed to do this for myself? Do you think I needed to die because of sin? I got no sin. You know, I died because I took your sins. That means my death counts as yours, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, when you were in the ark, when you were in me, I carried you from that place where I died right into the tomb with me. You're still in the tomb. You're still in me, right?
Yeah, I guess my death. Your burial is my burial.
Yeah, and you know what? When I resurrected, you were still in the ark. And so when the ark came up out of the flood, you were with me, and you resurrected with me. And so guess what? The show wasn't over. The journey didn't end there.
It didn't end there. That's honest. That's awesome in itself.
No, it didn't end there. Because for 40 days, I ministered. And then I went up into heaven, and you were still in me. And then I sat down on the throne, and that's why you are seated together with me in heavenly places. You see, all these powers and dominions and names and principalities that I'm far above. I'm at the right of far above all principalities. I mean, get your telescope, because it's so far down there that I'm above it that you need a telescope to see it. You're seated with me right there.
You mean I have power over sickness?
Yeah,
I get it. And you're seated with me.
Wait, you mean I got power over sin?
Yeah, and this is what even people that believe in healing, some of them don't get. You even have power over sin. We won't, you ever sing that song? We won't be defeated. We won't be defeated. We won't be defeated anymore. Jesus Christ, God's only Son, fought the battle and he won. We won't be defeated anymore. Jesus Christ, there's another line, says he gave us power over sin. We won't be defeated anymore.
He gave us power over sin.
And that's the factor that a lot of Christians haven't heard yet. Somebody say, he gave me power over sin. He swallowed up death and victory. He used death. Look at this, Hebrews 2:14. For as much then, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of flesh and blood. Why did you do that, Jesus? Here's why. So that through death, I can destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. I can't die unless I take on flesh and blood. And I'm taking it on because I'm going to destroy. Remember that devil had sin and law? And to kill with it, he had power. But I'm taking it over. And I'm going to give so much victory over death. Through death. If Satan had the power of death, and through death, Satan's own power, he destroys him. That's like David jumping on top of Goliath after he knocked him out of the head. And he takes Goliath's own sword, the sword that Goliath wanted to kill him with, and he chops off the head of David, or rather Goliath, with Goliath's own sword. He took the power of death that was
go to the cross. And people say, that's the place of death. Yeah, well, the devil wanted to kill me because he didn't want me to live. He didn't want Adam and Eve to live forever and have dominion over the earth. He wanted to rule on the earth. So he said, I'm going to kill them. And God says, okay, I'm going to take death and I'm going to use it now. I don't care if you use the grapefruit. I'm going to use the grapefruit to destroy it. I'm going to take death and destroy you. Now I'm going to tell people, you know how you get eternal life? The very thing the devil didn't want me to have, so he killed you. You know why? How are you going to get eternal life? Go to the place of death. What? Yeah, you see that blood around the doorway in Egypt? That's the death of the lamb. That's death. Go through that death, and the death angel can't touch you. Look, I could not have thought of a more ingenious way for God to turn the tables on the devil. Because when the devil thought he had man in the corner, dead, he won't live forever and rule now. God says, okay, I'm going to take death and I'm going to use it to destroy you. How are you going to take death and destroy me with it? It's my weapon. Yeah, I'm going to destroy you with it. I'm going to make death something that people run to. How are you going to do that? Because I'm going to die and then I'm going to resurrect from the dead. And people are going to run to my cross. They're going to run to that torture weapon. They're going to run to my tomb. And they're going to want to get baptized into my death so they can live forever. The very thing you didn't want them to do. The very thing you thought you hindered. I'm going to make it possible through death. How do you like that, Satan? Hallelujah. And through death, we get eternal life. Death has become a launching pad for us to go into eternal life. Because Jesus said, eat my flesh that's going to die for you. Drink my shed in death for you. And guess what you'll get? Eternal life. No one could have thought of it, let alone Satan. And Jesus turned to death. He's got the keys of death and hell now. And when the devil had it, the devil opened up hell and the lake of fire. Jesus got a hold of it and says, for everybody that goes through me, I'm the door. I'm going to open up heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know something, brother? You were in the Holy Ghost yet again, as usual. Do you remember he said the rocks rent and the veil rent? The same verse that says the rocks cracked open says the veil ripped open. The same verse. Some people's hearts are like rock and they won't believe. So the rocks should fall on them and they will be broken. But other people's hearts, they've got a veil that they let Jesus open up. And just like the veil was rent, the rocks might have been rent for them. But the veil was rent over my heart here, and I opened my heart up to Jesus, and his death has made the way for me to have eternal life. I've now come to the tree of life. Aren't you glad Jesus is the tree of life? Yes, there's a knowledge of good and evil here, and yes, a lot of Christians are going there, but they need to stop, because after he destroyed him who had the power of death, he delivered them. While we had a fear of death, and all our lifetime we were afraid of death, we were subject to bondage. We were going to die one day. Some people worry so much about them going to die that they can't live. But he took us who had a fear of death, and now we walk through it to get eternal life. So the Bible actually says when a child was born in the Old Testament, the saints wept. Because that little baby is going to face some wicked, wicked people in this world. That little tender heart is going to be hurt and crushed. It's going to break the heart of parents to see some of the things those kids go through. But when the saint of God died, they rejoiced because they made it to the other side. Today, it's the opposite. The world rejoices at a baby's birth and they sorrow at a death. But for the Christian, grave, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? We don't die, we just move on high to live who Christ became. Hallelujah! Grave, where's your victory? My Jesus swallowed you up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah, God! Woo! And so, he hung on that tree. How many know it killed him? It killed him. It was a tree of death for him, right? He swallowed up the tree of life, and he made it a tree of life. So Jesus made the cross a capital punishment weapon into eternal life for us. He conquered it. And did I preach this last year? When Dagon's temple had
had the Ark of the Covenant put in there. Did I mention that? And how this was a temple to the devil. This was a temple to Dagon, the false god. Well, you put something that represents Jesus' throne in the temple of the devil. Just like the tomb, on the third day, Dagon's idol was thrown down on the ground, worshiping before the ark with its head and its hands broken off. And he made that into a holiest of holies too, because wherever the ark is, that's a holiest of holies. And that's like the tomb. He turned it in. He swallowed up death and victory. And you're seated together with him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Get ready to come to the music. Oh, hallelujah. He made death into a doorway. Praise God. Oh, let's all stand together right now. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, God. Oh, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that everybody here today will receive this word and understand it. Open the eyes of everybody's hearts. Let them see with the eyes of understanding. And when they understand and they see that, then they know the truth, and the truth makes them free. I pray, God, that everyone that leaves these services following this weekend will never again go near that tree of knowledge of good and evil to try to make themselves serve you in the oldness of the letter. I pray now they know how to walk after the Spirit, and that they get life and not death from the old letter of the law and the ministration of condemnation and the ministration of death. In Jesus' name, God, bless them with revelation here right now. Give them a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of you, Lord, so they know and know and know. And Lord, like Isaiah saw you high and lifted up, every one of these people will see with the eyes of their understanding you on the throne. Because when we see with the eyes of our understanding you on the throne, then we realize we're seated with you. There's no more work for us to do. You did it all. We just haven't let it sink in before. Thank you, God, and let them have power over sin. In Jesus' name, like you made us born again to have it. Clap up at him together. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Very good. He cursed that tree.
From now on, nobody will come to this tree to get the fruit of it. That's what he was saying, right? And when one day Peter and the rest of his disciples, when they saw the tree was all dried up, dead, totally dead, that's the tree that Jesus cursed. No more we can go to that tree of knowledge and good and evil, because he was cursed and dried up. No more good for that tree, praise God. He was cursed already, that tree, praise God. He wanna go, some people today, they're trying to make it alive again, that tree. It's cursed, praise God. No more. You don't wanna go to that tree no more. Don't eat it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand. They can sing once.